arena that they're about to step into. Amen. So, I'm going to get to the word now. Listen, I don't know how long I'm going to be before you. I could preach for 10 minutes and then call an altar call. But I'm just going to preach what the word, what the Lord gave me. I'm excited to minister the word this morning. I said Gracie's moving and going to school. It's in a season of change for a lot of people, and I think a season of change for the church as well. And so I want to talk about navigating those seasons of change, because it can be a very uncomfortable place to be, right? I've been in a season of change even in my personal life lately, and it's been a great shakening in my life and how I operate and how I do ministry and how I do personal life, so many things. And so at times it's been uncomfortable, if I'm just being really honest. I have not liked it one bit, but I know that I'm right in the center of God's will for me and where he's called me to be. And I'm telling you that when you get into that place, you will walk in such a peace and such a fresh anointing and empowered to do what he's called you to do this morning. So if you will, turn in the word. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to open with verse 8, and if you will stand for the reading of the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for grace this morning? Come on, would you bow your heads? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to get to be in your house and to get to worship you and bless your name. God, we pray that you would just continue to rest here as you already have. God, meet us in a special way. We set aside every preconceived notion of how we want this service to go, and we surrender to your will and to your way in this house. Lord, come and do what only you can do, and may we leave different and better than the way we came into this place. I pray that you would anoint me to speak your word. God, let everything that is spoken in this house today be directly from the throne room of heaven. God, I surrender myself to you. May preaching come easy in this house. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Noah found grace. I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of the Lord this morning. We all know the scripture. We know this story very well. Sin had entered into the world through Adam and Eve, and over time it had just become greater and greater, and we get to the point that God has looked down on his creation and has decided that I am no longer satisfied with it. And so we see that there's one righteous man, one righteous family, and the Lord instructs him. He says, Noah, you're going to build the ark, and I'm going to send a flood, and it's going to wipe out everything that I've created that breathes, that is on land, but I'm going to spare you, and I'm going to spare your family. And I love this, because I want to define, because it says Noah found grace, but we also can see that Noah and his family were shown mercy in the situation. Grace and mercy go hand in hand, but there is a difference. And I found this definition and I loved it. It says, mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment, while grace is the act of endowing unmerited favor. Come on, does anybody have some unmerited favor in the room this morning? I know that I sure do, that I don't deserve the favor. I don't deserve the blessing that I walk in, but we have a God that loves us enough, and Noah didn't deserve it either. Let's be real, in scripture, just a few verses after that, it says that Noah was a perfect man in his generation, but he was not perfect to the extent that we put that word with, that we tie that word to the perfection of Christ, the perfectness of Jesus. So we know that, yes, while Noah was upright, he was a righteous man, he still was not without sin, which means that he did not deserve the grace and the mercy that he was shown. But we have a God that loves us enough to show us that grace and mercy when we walk uprightly before him in righteous living. And I love that. Before we go any further, I want to make sure that you know this morning that that grace and that mercy is still available to you if you do not have it. You were created to come into communion communion with the Father. You were created to come and worship Him. He loves you enough. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. Now, you need to understand that while He is seated upon the mercy seat, there will come a day when He will step from the mercy seat and sit on a throne of judgment. So you better get the mercy and the grace that you need while you still have the opportunity. I think of the verse in Lamentations that says, His mercy is new to me every morning. And I'm thankful for that, because there's sometimes that when I have a rough day, I need the reset. It's the holy reset day by day that He's made all things new, no matter where I've been, no matter what I've said, no matter what you've drank, what you've done, what you've spoken, who you've done things with, the grace and the mercy of God is still available for you in this place this morning. But I want to address the fact that while it's available for you, there is an enemy after your soul. There is an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy the plans and the purpose of God that has been placed on your life. And if he can keep you out of the grace and of the mercy of God, he can accomplish the mission that he is trying to do. And the way that he does this is he reminds us of our past sin. He keeps us caught in the cycles of condemnation. It's somewhat, you might say it's cliche, but it's just the hard truth, is that there's an enemy that knows your name, but yet he still chooses to call you by your sin and by your past and what you've done. But I'm thankful this morning that there is a God in heaven, that he knows my sin, he knows everything that I have done, but yet he still chooses to call me by my name, because he knows that, yes, he may have messed up, but it has come under my blood, it has come under the mercy seat, and I have fresh assignment, fresh anointing, and fresh purpose for him. I'm a holler back kind of preacher. It feeds me if y'all will get with me. If y'all, amen. I like it. Talk back to me this morning. There's purpose. And if he can keep you in the cycles of guilt and of shame, he will hold you back from what God is calling you to do. And if you stay bound in that cycle, you will never be able to fully walk in the peace and the joy of the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but walking in the peace and in the joy of the Lord. And I want to make very clear this morning that what you lack in your ability, God will make up for the rest. And I believe in this season of change, in this season of discomfort for some, we've got people that have just about reached the end of their rope. They're treading water, barely staying on. But I've got good news, is that when you've reached the end of your rope, that's where the beginning of his is. That's where he starts to move. It's in your weakness that his strength is perfected. And so I came to preach this morning that when you take your hand off and let God put his hand in, he will do miraculous things. His plans and his purposes for your life will work well and way better if you'll step back and let him do what he does best. And so this morning, I want to preach to you a sermon that I've titled, God's Got the Door. God has got the door. Gracie's off to college this morning. So many things are changing and shaking in my life personally. And I feel like I've been in a season where I've just been on the threshing floor of the Lord, right? I mean, it's just been the sifting of the wheat and of the tares in my life. And as I was in prayer not too long ago, and I was honestly, let's just be real, I was griping to the Lord about it. I was like, this is not fun. This is not comfortable. And the Lord reminded me of something that I said from this platform in worship one Sunday. It was the last Sunday of last year, our Christmas Eve service, and I stood up here and I said, everything that can be shaken for the kingdom in this next year will be shaken. And the Lord brought me back to that word, and I was just like, well, I was just saying what you told me to say. I was just speaking on your behalf. But I want to make clear that in the day and in the hour we're living in, there's a lot of people that want to walk in the will of God for their life, which is a great thing, and there's a lot of people that want to speak on behalf of the kingdom. But let me tell you something. When you stand up and say, I will speak on behalf of the kingdom, you better get ready for it to turn back and affect your own house. You see it in Elijah. We got a lot of people, they want to be in the company of Elijah prophets. But it was Elijah that prophesied the word, and then he was set by a brook and waited on a bird to bring him his food. When you want to speak on behalf of the kingdom, it's going to come back and affect you. But you've got to get to a place where you realize that the shaking, the sifting, the uncomfortableness of the seasons, is they change. If you will let it and allow it, it will work in your favor. It will work all things out for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And he will do things in you and through you that you never could have imagined. I don't know why I'm up here standing before you preaching this word this morning, but I'm just thankful that I was entrusted with some measure of anointing, with some measure of a calling and a purpose to declare the word of the Lord on behalf of his kingdom, and that he trusts me enough to give me the opportunity. And I made a promise a long time ago that if he would continue to do that, I would do my very best to walk faithfully in what he's called me to do. And so we see, as we're going down, I'm going to go down in Genesis 6 to about verse 13. And I want to go through the instructions of what the Lord told Noah to do. And in verse 13 it says, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch.'" Everybody say pitch. Pitch. I want you to remember that word. Verse 15, "And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side." We're going to talk about the door. "You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is in the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Catch this, verse 22. "Thus Noah did according to all that commanded him, to all that God commanded him, so he did." And I'm going to jump down. Let's keep on. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to jump down chapter 7. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark.'" So we see Noah is told to prepare the ark. Chapter 7, we're getting to the start of this thing where the Lord is about to send the flood. And so he's telling Noah, he says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animals that are unclean, a male and his female, and seven of each birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." Once again, verse 5, "And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him to do." So I want to stop right there for just a moment. We see Noah is given the instruction. We see, how to build the ark. Then chapter 7, it's the getting everything on the ark because the flood's about to come. But I want to make note of that moment where it says that Noah did as he was instructed to do. That's the whole theme of this message this morning, is that when you do what you're called to do, that's when you need to take your hands off of it and let God do the rest. So let's jump real quick in chapter 7. Let's go to verse 10. And I'm going to read down quickly through 16. It says, "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the foundations of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open." I love that language. All the foundations of the great deep. In this day there was a shakening that happened, right? The Lord shook the foundations of the earth. And I think we're in that season now where we're about to have another great shaking, where God's going to reestablish some things. And we know it's not going to be like this because there was a promise made that he wasn't going to do this again. But we've already seen it start. Our world is breaking out. You look at Israel and what is happening, the threat of attack from Iran and all these things. I can't, it's the beginning of the birthing pains that we read about in Matthew 24. There's coming a day, I truly believe, I'm not going to preach on end times this morning. I have my opinion on it, and I'll tell it to you privately after. But I believe that as day by day, we are growing closer to the return of the Lord. That's just matter of fact. And I believe that in the last days, we will see a great shaking, and there will be an awakening of the body of Christ to bring souls into the kingdom. Verse 12, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons went with them and entered into the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh in which is the breath of life. Catch this, verse 16. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut the door. When you do what you're instructed to do, God will take care of the rest. And I talked about that word pitch. The pitch is a seal that was placed on the ark to waterproof it at some level. And so we see Noah comes in, he planes the wood, he's assembled the ark, and this has taken years and years for him to do. He didn't obviously have the tools and the technology that we do today, but yet he was still faithful year after year. And I have to think that as he was doing this, and he was, you know, people in the town walking by and saying, hey, what are you doing? What are you building? And as Noah maybe was sharing this, well, the Lord has told me to prepare this because there's coming a flood. You've got to imagine the ridicule that he faced from the people. You have lost your mind. You're going to build a boat, and the Lord's going to send two of every kind of animal for you to load up, and you're going to be the only ones that survive. But yet he was so faithful to do what the Lord had called him to do. And so I want to make note that as the Lord has loaded them in, and he gets them on the boat, Noah has built the ark. He's pitched it within and without, sealed it. There was one place that he could not touch when the flood came, and it was the outside of that door. It was an exposed part of the ark. Without that being sealed, it left room for entry of water for the things. And how many places in our lives, because we're trying to move the pieces, we're trying to piece things together how we think they should be, how we think it should all work out, are we leaving room for exposure when in all reality, if we've done what we've been called to do, if we would take our hands off, God would seal the door and shut the door. And in a season of transition where some of you are sending off your children, where some of you maybe your finances are not in order, your marriage is in disarray, so many things are going wrong and shaking, we think that we've got it all figured out, though, that if I would just move this here and allocate this and do that, when in all reality, God's saying, I'm just waiting for you to take your hand off of it so I can put my hand in it. Noah did not shut the door. All he had to do was go in. He had done what was instructed of him, and he had done all that he could do. But God was faithful to take care of the rest because he will keep his promise. He said, I'm going to keep your family. You've lived righteous in my sight. And I wonder in that moment, you know, Noah, this dude was probably a smart guy. And so he probably had that realization of that's the one place I can't get. I don't know how. But I can just imagine as the flood waters were rising and as things were coming, and he saw that that was sealed, that nothing was making entry. I imagine his faith probably began to arise in a moment to say, I've done what I could do, but he's going to seal the door. He'll take care of the rest. God has the door this morning. And I want to present to you, too, that as you're in a season of shakening, a season of change, a season of transition, in verse 21 of chapter 7, it says, "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beast and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man. But Noah and his family were sealed in the ark." And I want to present to you this morning that the reason that you are possibly in the season that you're in a season of isolation, because we know change can be a lonely place. It often is a lonely place. But in the season that you're in, where you're isolated from everything else, I want to present to you this morning that the very reason might just be because it's protecting you. God is protecting you from the very thing that would have ultimately perverted you. We see Noah and his family in this world of wickedness. And I don't know about you, but even people that I know that are not living right for the Lord, I still love them. I still care for people that I know that aren't living right for the Lord. And so I imagine that it was hard for Noah and for his family to get on this ark, having told people possibly what was happening, and yet they had to sit and watch as a season changed right before their eyes. Everything that they had known was wiped out in an instant. People that they cared about possibly and loved. But yet had they stayed, had they not been faithful to do what God had called them to do, it would have cost them the purpose and the plan and the anointing that was on their life and on their family. God's sealing you to keep you right in the center of his will. And we see it all throughout Scripture. Many people in the Scripture have been sealed and have had seasons of isolation before they stepped fully into the call on their lives. We see Moses. He spends 40 years in the desert before he goes back to Egypt to deliver the people of God. It was a season of empowering. It was a season of isolation for him, but so ultimately he could be prepared and empowered to step in and be the deliverer for the people of Israelites. Alyssa talked about David last week. David spent day after day in the shepherd field, probably all by himself, but it was a season of preparations. We see that God tests him. The lion came to take after the sheep. The bear came to take after the sheep, and he went after it and killed them. It was a season of preparation for what the next was in his life. It was a season of God establishing him, establishing the purpose, establishing the anointing and the calling on his life before he stepped into it. We even see Jesus, after he was baptized by John the Baptist, he goes into the wilderness and is tempted. Why? Because it's a moment of establishing. If we're trusted, if we can't be trusted with the little, how can we be trusted with the greater, with more? But if we'll allow him to establish us. But I love this. Chapter 8, verse 1. The floods have come. Everything has been wiped out. A season has changed. And lives have been altered. But it says in verse 1, it says, "Then God remembered Noah." And I'm going to stop right there. Aren't you thankful that God remembers you this morning? Because what was a season, it's now shifting and coming back to an end. We see in this chapter that the ark is about to come to a resting place. And the Lord's about to establish Noah and his family in this new season. And I want you to know this morning that seasons change. If we look in that same chapter down at verse 22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Seasons change. You will not be where you're at forever, but I want to tell you that while it may be uncomfortable for a moment, you may feel the shaking, you may feel the pressing, but do not deny what it is doing in your life. Do not deny what the Lord is trying to do, because we know that it's in the pressing that the oil is produced. And where the oil is, the anointing is. And where the anointing is, the favor is. And where the favor is, the peace is. Are you getting this morning? Right? And so so it may be uncomfortable. The people around you, like I said, they might not understand. Your name may be tarnished. People may talk about you. You might be, sought after. People are trying to destroy you while you're in a vulnerable season. But you need to understand it's working for your favor. You see, I think about the scripture somewhere in John where the Lord goes and he looks at the fig tree. Because he's hungry, and it's not the season for figs, but the tree has leaves on it. And if you know about figs, if you study, a fig tree should not have leaves on it if it is not produced fruit. But he goes and he lifts up under it, and he sees that it lacks fruit. And he tells him, he says, do you not understand? You know, we can't fully change the season we're in, but we have the ability to discern it. We can discern the season we're in. And so in all reality, while these people are throwing things at you, while you think they're trying to suffocate you, they're trying to come after you, they're throwing junk your way to try and kill, but in all reality, they're throwing the fertilization onto the ground. And I've gotten to the point in my life where I could care less what you think about me. You could think I'm crazy and have lost my mind jumping and worshiping down here like a fool and shouting, but I can't contain it because I know that while you're coming after me, you're saying kill. I'm saying bring it on because it's grow for me. It's the fertilization. And what you don't know is that you're seeking to kill me, but in all reality, you're helping fertilize the fruit of the kingdom in my life. So when you're in those seasons, you need to realize that you are sealed right where God wants you to be. And I'm looking for a people this morning in the house that'll say, it might be uncomfortable. People might speak unwell of me. They might look to destroy me. But if it is only me and my family, like it was Noah, as for me and my house, we sang it. As for me and my house, I'm going to get on that boat and I'm going to do what he's called me to do. And I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to trust the pressing. And I'm going to trust that it is going to bring forth unmerited favor and anointing and an oil in my life that nobody else has. I want to tell you this morning, as we were worshiping, I was thinking about the oil. And it's so important that when you go through these seasons of pressings, and as new and fresh oil is produced in your life, you have got to release what has been given to you. The oil that I've been given is not for me, but it's to break my box at the feet of Jesus. And you want to know one surefire way to kill the anointing on your life is to withhold what he has given you to give back to him. Lord, don't ever let me withhold the oil that you've given me. That's what I tell myself in ministry. I don't want to quit preaching. I don't want to quit praying today in this altar until every drop that I have been given is poured out. We need to get the unction that the prophet had when he came to anoint David king. We see they call forth all of the sons of Jesse. And he goes, no. And he finds the prophet has to turn around and say, do you have another son? And Jesse says, yeah, I got one more, but he's the runt. He's out in the shepherd field. And the prophet said, I'm not sitting down until he's before me. And then he dumped that horn of oil upon his head, every last drop, not for me, but for him. May it be broken at his feet. Seasons come and go, but instead of being rattled by them and knocked off course, you can learn to discern them and know that when you have done what you've been called to do, God will seal you in right where he wants you to be. He's got the door this morning. Amen. Amen. Worship team, y'all go ahead and join me back on the platform. If you have your Bible, I want to turn to one more quick place in Exodus chapter 2 as I'm trying to land this plane here. In Exodus chapter 2. Very familiar passage of scripture. We see Moses. We see Moses born. And in chapter 2 in verse 1, it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife as a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, She took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch. There's that word again. Put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." We know Moses born a male. We know that Pharaoh had ordered a decree that all men, all newborns that were males were to be killed, right? And so we see Jochebed, Moses' mom, has hid him for as long as she could. And so she sends him off, puts him in the water at the river's edge. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you?" Catch this, verse 8 right here. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Verse 3, she dabbed the ark with asphalt and with pitch. It was a sealant. And I can't help but think, what kind of mother wants to take their child, put it in a basket, and leave it at the river's edge, not knowing what could happen, what could come of that situation? But yet, had she not chosen to do what she knew she had to do, though it might have been uncomfortable in a season, uncomfortable in a moment, had she kept Moses back, we knew he would have been found, he would have been discovered, and he would have been killed because of the decree of Pharaoh. And the course of all history could have been altered in a moment because he was the deliverer of the people of God. And I want to tell you this morning that while you may be in a rough season, while you might be in a season where it looks like the very things you were promised, the very things you waited so long for, the very things you've hoped and prayed for year after year, and it's finally come to you, but you're entering into a season where you're about to have to put it down, and you don't know if you'll ever get to see it again. But I just declare this morning that this is about to be the season of holy renewal, that everything that you have lost is about to come full circle back to you, and you're going to get to nurse the very promise that you were given. When God has ordained an advancement in your life, nothing can stop it. Moses was in a messy spot, but yet he was right in the center of God's will for his life. It may have been a tight spot, somebody, but we know it was a right spot. Your future is a given in spite of where you may be today. And you can look back and you can dwell on the past and all the things that have gone wrong. Or you can look today in the present moment on what is and what is to come. In these seasons of transitions, and I'm guilty of this myself, it's hard for me. I'm not a very sentimental person when it comes to material things, but when it comes to a good moment in my life, I can hang on to it. And I can have a great day, have been with the people I loved, doing the things I loved, and then the next day I can wake up and think, my goodness, I wish I was back there. But when you stay in that cycle and you long for the things that were, you miss what is, and you miss what is to come. And I promise you that if you'll step into the now and look to what is to come, it will be greater than anything you could have ever had in the past. It was Moses that was hid in the cleft of the rock. And he said, "Lord, I want to see your glory." And the Lord says, "Moses, you can't see my glory, but I'll put my hand in front of you. Your natural body couldn't handle the fullness of my glory, but I'll put my hand in front of you and cause my glory to pass by." And I believe that as the Lord passed him by and he removed his hand, it was a moment of, look at where we've been. I've seen the faithfulness there But I'm showing you this so you can trust me in the now and follow me to where I'm taking you. If you will let him, God can work outside of your time clock. That's the crazy thing about our God. He works outside of our time, outside of our clock. And while he is absolutely right here in the now, he's also in tomorrow. And at the same time, he's in yesterday, redeeming everything that has been lost. Think about that for a moment. In my finite mind, I just have to imagine that there's sometimes that God is just waiting for us to get out of a moment so he can start working in it. As you stand to your feet this morning, Noah pitched the ark within and without. Jochebed pitched the ark, the basket that Moses was put in. The pitch was a seal to protect what was inside and to keep what was outside out. Did you know this morning that you are sealed? If you're under the blood, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have a stamp of verification on you. And it's not a fraudulent stamp either. It's not a fake stamp. See, when we were in New York, we got off that subway and walked out that tunnel, and immediately lining the sidewalks were all kinds of little tables set up, and I could have bought some new Ray-Ban sunglasses or the Louis Vuitton bag or Gucci or the red bottom shoes, but the fact of the matter was that when you got close enough to look at it, it was fraudulent. There was a fake stamp, but the true verification of the maker was not on that item. But when you're under the blood, when you're under the mercy seat, when you've stepped into the fullness of what God has for you, there is a seal of verification that is put on your life. It is a mark of your maker. And when you have the seal of God, it is protection from the enemy. The enemy has to begin to ask whether he can do anything to you. Job had the seal of verification. He was sealed of God. And we see that the enemy had to come to the Lord before he could ever touch Job. And the Lord said, take what he's got, but don't you lay a hand on him. And it's the same with you. There was a seal that the enemy could not cross. And when God allows you to be tested, when God allows the waters to get rough, when God allows, makes you have to choose to sacrifice what you have been given, it's not to destroy you. It is to strengthen you ultimately and to show you just how much he cares about you. Here's the deal. You might not see it in the moment, but when you look back, you will see the hand of God all over it. While you're in the trial season, you've just about given up because you've done all you know what to do. You're worn out. Is anybody worn out in this season? Come on, you can go ahead and drop those lights this morning. Worn out in a season. You've sent your kid to college. You're scared, nervous about what it may look like, what's going to happen, if they're going to get in the right circle, if they're going to do the right things, or if they're going to go off the rails. But I want to tell you this morning, when you've done what you've been called to do, if you are faithful to do it, God will seal the door. He'll take care of the door. He'll take care of what he's ordained. And the seasons are changing. And even in my own life, all I have to do, I encourage myself in the Lord. And when it's uncomfortable, when things are changing, all I have to do is step back and I say, Caleb, you're under the blood. You walk in the mercy and the grace and in the favor of the Lord. You've been sealed by the promise of the Holy Ghost and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I've been faithful to do what he's called me to do, I can step back and take my hands off of it and know that he's faithful to take care of the rest. When I've reached the end of myself, I'm just getting to the beginning of him. And he's faithful to seal the door this morning. So every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. I don't know what you came in here with this morning. My heart's been heavy for parents in this season, mothers especially, that are sending your children off. The dynamic of your families are changing. Even families and moms that don't, you know, your children may be grown and old, but yet they're not walking in what the Lord has called them to, and you've prayed year after year, and you've kept your hand in trying to organize and trying to steer and trying to direct. But I want to tell you this morning, continue to pray. Continue to speak life into a situation, but take your hand off of it and let the Lord do the work. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you're struggling financially. Your marriage is falling apart. If you're a student, you're having trouble at school, you're having trouble at work. For some of you, when you take your hand off of it, God will put His in it. And as long as we try and stay in control and move the pieces how we want them to be and how we think they will work best, I can assure you God will not step in and ordain and redeem that situation. But as soon as you make the decision to step back and say, I'm going to leave it in the hands of the one who works all things together for my good, that's when He will step in and begin to work miracles on your behalf. Even when you don't think there can be a way made, when you don't see how it could work out by any possibility, any chance, nothing by any means of logic could fix the situation you're in, but that's just the kind of God we serve. He doesn't want you to be able to work it out and figure it out. He wants to step in. He wants to intervene on your behalf so that He can get the glory from your situation. And so if that's you this morning, you're in a season of change, in a trial season, maybe the floodwaters of your life are coming, you don't know how you're going to make it any further, you're at the end of your rope, you've tried it on your own, and it's gotten you nowhere, there's somebody this morning that you can leave it in the hands of, that He'll take care of everything and work everything out for your good and for His glory. Or maybe you're in the house this morning and you've been in a season of blessing and you're not fully in the season of change yet, in the shakening season, but yet you felt the winds start to come and maybe it started to drizzle where you're at. And this morning you can come and you can choose to surrender that thing and trust that the full circle is going to come back around. And the thing that you think you're about to lose ultimately is about to be given back to you to nurture and to care for. And by doing so, it'll be given the opportunity and allowed to morning. Come on, did anybody receive something this morning? I sure hope you did. I hope you did. I'm so thankful that you were here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's pray as we're dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity to get to be in Your house and to hear Your word and to lift up Your name, God. God, we thank You that no matter what season we're in, no matter what we're facing, Lord, that we are under the blood, we walk in mercy and grace and unmerited favor, and we are sealed by the promise of the Holy Ghost. And that if we've done what we can do, we know that You are faithful to take care of the rest. So this morning, we surrender everything at Your feet. We take our hand out of it, and we ask to put that You would put Your hand in it and work all things out how You have called them to be worked out, Lord. And we will trust that it will be the exceedingly and the greatly, more than anything we could have ever asked, thanked, or have imagined. Lord, I pray that You would bless the people this week as they go their separate ways, Lord. May they walk out of here different than the way they came in, empowered, emboldened to step fully into the purpose and the call and the plan of God that is on their life. I pray that you would keep them until we all get to come back and meet together again. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen and amen. Young adults, don't forget tonight about the young adult gathering. If you are here this morning and you are a young adult, we want you at this gathering. We planned it with you in mind. So come get the address from one of us, and we look forward to seeing you. Love somebody on your way out this morning.